You know what we should
Talk
do?
Radio.
We should both come on like we took B-ball. All right, you ready? Yeah, we should totally do it.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. It's related to boxing. We're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, a big fight may have been signed, and we'll have all the info on it. More on that later, but let's get started first. Beeb, I don't know why people don't listen to us. You and I both had Dimitri Bivol this weekend. I heard a lot of people picking Zerto. I said there's no way Zerto's going to win this fight. You said this too. We tried to explain it to him on the round table. We tried to explain it. Every person that I met, I'm like, guys, you got it. You're sleeping on Bivol. If you're taking Zerto, you're sleeping on Bivol. You know what I mean? Beeb, did you have that same problem this weekend?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just feel something in your bones. And, you know, it is what it is. People just don't want to deal with the reality of the situation in life.
They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. You know what I mean? Guys, listen, it's real simple. You want to bet? You want to make money? You listen to Beeb and me. That's it.
Yeah. Only that front runner, Robbie, picked
Zerto. Yeah, he picked. Of all things, the dumbest pick this weekend was Zerto Ramirez. That's why we took Bivol. And now look at us. Unbeaten.
I mean, these guys want to dismiss Bivol and say he only beat Canelo just because he was bigger. Well, Zerto weighed about, what, 250
Much
in the ring
bigger.
Last
night? Yeah, he looked like he was like heavyweight last night.
Zerto should have been in the WWE. He was so big, man. I mean, come
Huge.
On.
Huge. Should have been wrestling Jake Paul. Unbelievable.
Give me a break.
Tell you what,
break.
Unbelievable. Dimitri Bivol versus Gilberto Zerto Ramirez. Dimitri Bivol dominated this fight. This fight was completely one-sided, guys. Bivol wins by unanimous decision, scores 118 to 110 and 117, 111 twice. I'll be honest with you, I thought the 117, 111 was a little wide or was a little narrow. I had the fight scored 119, 109. I expected so much more out of Zerto in this fight, man. He never got anything going. He never looked like he hurt Bivol. He didn't look stronger. He just looked like he didn't even belong in there last night. He didn't go to the body. He didn't apply pressure. Zero pressure. He was pressured. You know what I mean? Beeb, I'm watching this fight. I'm giving him a couple rounds, let them come to life or whatever. Could be a slow starter. He got blasted in there. I mean, he was getting backed up the entire fight. Even in the mid-rounds when you're thinking, okay, he should be warm, he's still getting backed up. And the other guys were saying, like, hey, what about this? You know, like, we needed you to put some pressure on him and everything like that. Oh, wasn't hearing it. Did the same thing. And I've got a theory about this, Beeb. I think that in that second, I believe it was in that second or third round, Bivol clipped him. He clipped him he hit him with combinations all throughout the fight. But I think he got stunned. It was either that second or third round. He got stunned by a combination that was thrown. And you know what? I don't think he wants to engage anymore. I really don't. And, you know, I tell you, these guys, man, Bivol's got power. He's 175. He hits you flush, he can get rid of anybody. He can get rid of anybody in the division. And so can, you know, anybody who's in 175 can get rid of any, you know what I mean? They can hit. They can all hit. They all have power, you know? And I think he tasted that power last night, and that was a change. That was a game change for him. I think he was more cautious than we've ever seen him before, and he didn't go in. He didn't want to initiate any action. I mean, Bivol hit him flush all night long. it wasn't even really, you know, if you saw one round, you saw them all, you know. He was constantly getting backed up. And, you know, let's not overlook the fact that Bivol is definitely a superior boxer. We all knew that going in. But like I said, man, he's got power too, you know. So after the fight,
keep you honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't just walk through the guy.
Yeah, you can't just walk through him. There's no way you're just going to be able to walk through him. He's too strong for that. So I tell you, man, it was one of those things, man. After looking at it, and I would have never thought that Zerto, like I said, gets hit with some shots and then that was it. You know what I mean? And his game plan just went out the window.
Here's the thing, man. The greatest fear that anyone can have, not only in boxing but in life, is the fear of the unknown, right? So when you're dealing with a guy where you don't know when the punches are coming, where the punches are coming, and how the punches are coming, basically what I'm saying is when you can't time the guy and every time you make a move, before you can execute your move, this guy's already getting off first and he's one step ahead of you, not even just one step ahead of you, 15 steps ahead of you, right? After a while, I used this analogy several times, even way back to the Rope Dope Radio days. It's like touching the hot stove. Every time you touch that hot stove, you get burnt. You don't want to touch that hot stove anymore. So every time you're getting ready to throw a punch and you're being hit before you can even uncork your punch, then you become a little bit gun-shy, right? So if every move you make is being cut off at the pass, right? And Bivol does a lot of these things with just small, little, subtle movements, right? Just steps just enough around you, catches the shot, just is able to thread the needle, like, through the guard. Bivol just knows how to read his opponent so well in there. He knows how to dissect his opponent so well in there. And we go back to, talking about gifted guys like who have that adaptive reactive ability, like Andre Ward. The guys that just their minds just work quicker than everyone
IQ.
Else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's got that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that he's a special fighter. There's great fighters.
He certainly looks that way.
He's a special fighter. Being the bandwagon jumper that I am and the front runner that I am, Better Beef would beat him. I may have changed my pick in favor of Bivol now after seeing this guy fight a couple times. He's the real deal.
Well, let's face it. Let's think about that fight for a minute. I mean, he's not outboxing Bivol. Am I right? I mean, if this goes through decision, he's not outboxing him. And let's just keep everything, no knockdowns, no nothing. If this just goes through decision, there's no way he's beating him. None. You know?
Well,
Bivol can hurt him. Bivol can hurt him just like Better Beef can hurt him. Bivol has more ways to win that fight, so he's got to be favored, right? And how old is Bivol, or how old is Better Beef now?
Better Beef, 37. He's going to be 38.
He's going to be like 30, 38 years old. He might as well be 90 in there.
Yeah.
He's not going to be faster. He's going to have trouble landing against that guy. Listen.
Remember on the round table when Joe Calix was giving us all those stats?
Yeah.
Those stats came to life on Saturday, didn't they?
You know what?
Go
ahead.
He's an incredibly gifted defensive fighter. I'm going to say something extremely bold, and obviously he doesn't have the same resume as this person. But he's rivaling Mayweather right now in terms of defensive ability. They don't fight the same way.
No.
But at this point in time in his career, he gets hit. He's getting even hit less than Mayweather.
Well, I'll tell you what's impressive about it is he stands right in front of him, and he was the aggressor the entire night last night, not getting hit. And you know what? You look at his box rec, he's never had a split decision. Not even against Canelo. I mean, no split decisions. I mean, it's all been unanimous. He doesn't lose those rounds.
Yeah.
There's something there, man. Yeah, it's a different kind of guy. And like I said, you guys know how high it was coming in with Ramirez coming into this. I mean, I didn't think there was a chance he was going to lose. I thought he was too big, too strong, going to impose that will, go to the body. And you know what? You know, after the first four rounds, I said, you know, there's no strength difference here. Zerto should be pushing this guy around the ring, and he's not. You know, Ramirez should be walking this guy down by now, and he's not.
But once
it's that
again,
power. It's that power.
Well, the punches hurt more when you're not able to brace yourself for them and you can't time them. A lot of times, even a fighter can see a punch coming at the tail end of it, and he's able to brace himself, roll with it.
Yeah.
Can't do that with Bivol's punches.
So fast. You
can't do that.
And everything is, like, perfect. Everything he does is, like, perfect. Everything he throws, everything.
Short, compact, accurate, flush. Give him just this much, and he'll thread the needle with anything. He's just an incredibly gifted fighter.
Jerry's in the chat now. Jerry's in the chat. He's still harboring a grudge here. We picked Ramirez wrong again. Oh, come on, man.
Jerry.
Let it go, son.
The thing about predicting boxing matches, right? If you do it every week, you're going to be wrong 50% of the time. That's why the casinos are in business right now. And that's why when Eric and I fill out our W-2s at the end of the year, we don't list professional boxing gambler as our profession. Because if it was so easy being right, I hate to attack you, but we asked you, right, who is going to win versus Golovkin and Canelo. And you basically sat on the fence.
He didn't say either. Yeah, he didn't pick one. He didn't pick one.
You were like, well, I don't know. I could see Golovkin winning, but Canelo's going to...
like the announcer making a pick or something like that, you know.
Canelo's going to get, you know, he's going to get the benefit. He's going to win by robbery, by scorecard. Canelo didn't win by robbery. Actually, the judges had the fight closer for Golovkin than they should have.
Yeah,
so it was
way
the other one
more closer than they should have, yeah.
I mean, you're a Monday morning quarterback. You were on the show last week, and all you were arguing about was fights that already happened. You didn't even make a pick.
Bivol Zurdo, this is from Jerry, numerically dominated by Bivol. Bivol, fight was competitive throughout. The fight was not competitive. I don't know it was only competitive by the fact that Zurdo put gloves on and got in the ring. That was the only competition he gave. That fight was not close. It was not competitive. That was a shellacking.
In Jerry's mind, every fight is competitive.
Just because you get in the ring doesn't mean it's competitive, son.
He gives people participation trophies. That's fine.
Some Rondo says that he's going to wait till I pick the fight, and then he's going to pick the opposite. Actually, I think that's a great strategy given my track record for the last few fights.
Did Jerry make a prediction last week on this fight?
I don't know that he did. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I know for a fact he did not. But yet he wants to brag about it. He's telling we got the pick wrong, right? And Jerry, again,
you clearly have never competed.
Never competed. You see how there's a reason why this nose is crooked, because I have competed. Never said I was good, but I did. I have competed. Yes.
The fight, yeah. Jerry, listen, man. I like you. The fight was not competitive, though. Was not competitive. And
you picked Bivol by decision. Not on this podcast, you didn't.
Everybody picks Bivol. Let me tell you what. Today, everybody picked Bivol, including us. You know what I mean? Yeah, I tell you what. It was disappointing to watch Zurdo in that fight. And somebody said Zurdo equals Chavez Jr. to, you know, 2.0. Listen, and I don't feel that way, but he did. That was a Chavez Jr. like performance. I'll give you that.
When Jerry calls in, I'm just going to let him go today. I'm not even. I don't have the.
Well, he hung up on you last week. I think he got scared.
Yeah, he's going to make me laugh too hard one of these days, and I'm going to rupture my spleen. I can't deal with this.
You're going to rupture your spleen. He said he's going to call in, so we'll be waiting with bated breath for that.
I'm calling.
All right, so let's talk about this. So what is next for Bivol? I mean, this was a complete whitewash here. You know who feels – you know who's got to feel bad after this is De La Hoya. De La Hoya promoting Zurdo. I mean, what's going on with his guys?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, Zurdo will probably get another title shot against someone else eventually down the road. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. So Bivol now, better Beeb is going to fight Anthony Yard. I think he blasts Yard. Yeah. I think he beats Yard. But that still puts Bivol in limbo here. So where does he go now? Does he go and try to get Canelo next, or what does he do?
Probably going to fight. If you listen to the interview, he said, what I want and what my team wants are two different things, but we're going to have to talk and we're going to have to come to an agreement. I'm sure he's going to be advised to take the Canelo fight, because who else is he going to fight while he's waiting for Better Beef to
Well, you'd be silly not to take the Canelo fight.
Does Yard have a shot against Better Beef?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, I think so.
I don't want to disrespect Yard, because, I mean, he's a competitor. I don't want to be dismissive of Yard.
I think he's got a shot. I don't think it's a great shot. But, yeah, I think so. Listen, man, when he comes up with these game plans, you know, I tell you, we've all seen it before. When we got a fighter that, you know, that we say, man, there's no way, we don't think he's going to win. We don't think, you know, he's good, but the corner comes in with a great game plan, and he executes it to a T. Anything can happen, man. And look at last night. Like I said, I believe that Ramirez's game plan was thwarted by that power. I really do.
Yeah.
You know,
not to change the subject, but Jerry was the leading candidate for caller of the year. I'm just telling you what happened. It has nothing to do with me or anything else.
Stop.
But after that call last week, my email was flooded with people telling me there's no way you can give him call of the year after that debacle of a call he put forth last week. He was the leading candidate for caller of the year.
He usually came up with sound calls. I got to be honest. He usually comes up with.
Yeah, he ruined it for himself last week. I mean, I just got flooded with emails. I even got death threats saying, if you make this guy call of the year, we're coming for you.
I actually sent two death threats to you.
So I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what you want to do with this one. You may have to talk to the producer or something, but I don't know if we can give this guy caller of the year. I know you had your heart set on it, but
you know how it is. Aaron Daly, it's a good point. Yard has a puncher's chance and is ridiculously athletic and is durable. I think he has a good chance. I think he's got a shot. Like I said, man, I do think he has a shot. I don't think it's a great shot.
Right.
I wouldn't bet on him. I wouldn't favor him. But, again, man, I think it's a good shot. I'll tell you what, man. Bivol, you know, with the way he fought last night, there's no way Canelo – he's just got Canelo's number. There's no way he's beating Canelo in this fight. If he rematches, there's no way Canelo's winning that fight. That's easy work for him.
There's two sides of the argument here. I don't want to make excuses, but do you think Canelo was 100% going into that fight? Do you think that maybe he was burnt out physically from fighting so much?
I don't care. I mean, there's nothing in that fight that showed me that Canelo can beat Bivol. Nothing. That's another fight that was not close.
So. At the very,
I don't
the
understand
very least,
why they had it so close. What was it, 115, 113?
Yeah, 115, 113.
Come on.
At the very least, he could be more competitive. But even in being more competitive, as Jerry would say, it's still not going to get him. It's still not going to enable him to win the fight.
No.
Yeah, it's hard to see Yard winning that fight.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a tough task.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But, you know, I'll tell you this. That Better Beef is 37 years old. He'll be 38, in a couple months or something like that, or very soon. Listen, he's at the time where you get out of bed and you just don't have it anymore. That could happen at any point from here on. That he gets in that ring, he gets out of bed, he gets in that ring, and he just doesn't have it.
I agree.
We've seen it a million times. Seen it a million times.
Sure.
So I tell you what, man, it's that's where the mystery for me comes in, is that we all know that Better Beef should wipe this guy. We all know he should win, but he's 37. What? He's 37.
Yeah.
You know, and that's ancient in this sport. That is a senior citizen in this sport, which is why I would favor Bivol. This is why I would favor Bivol over Better Beef right now. Because of that age difference, because of that gap, because of that, you know, the speed, everything else. He boxes too well. He just boxes too well.
Yeah. I got you.
So Where do we put Bivol if he goes and he takes Canelo fight next? Now here's a scenario. Canelo's at what was he got the belts at 168, correct? 168, right? What if he drops down and takes all those belts from him at 168? Is he then, and then he goes back up to 175 to beat Beterbiev and unify those titles? Is he then the pound for pound guy? Canelo's not going to come up in weight. He's not going to come to 175 and fight him again. He'll have to go down to 168. I mean, let's think about it. I mean, who right now? You could say Terrence Crawford is the best because he's unified at weight divisions. He's won titles in all his weight divisions. He's fought good guys. You can't say he hasn't fought good guys. He's fought good guys. So I don't know how you can put Bivol over Terrence Crawford. But could you put him over Errol Spence? Yeah. Could you put him over Naoya Inoue? Yeah, I think so. Maybe. Maybe not. Because Inoue has, you know, done the titles in different divisions. He's won that tournament.
Unfortunately for Inoue, he's going to be discriminated against because he's
small and nobody knows his opponents. And that's a big deal.
That may be unfair to him.
Yeah, I agree.
It's that
Usyk's also in that category. Usyk's always also in that category. Another brilliant fighter that may not get the nod.
He's a great fighter.
Why he's not ranked higher than he is in the pound-for-pound list, I don't know. Why is Errol Spence ranked so high on that pound-for-pound list?
I mean, he unified three of the belts.
He fought, you know what I mean, at welterweight. That's it. He hasn't gone anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I'm saying if Bivol drops down in weight, 168, unifies there, goes back up and fights Beterbiev in his next fight and unifies there,
he's an instant Hall of Famer. If he does those two things, no matter what he does for the rest of his career, he's an instant Hall of Famer.
First ballot, right?
First ballot.
Gotta be.
I expedite the process, and I see if we can vote him in fucking next week if he does that.
Is there a better fighter right now, I mean, that you could think of boxing-wise, a better boxer, stylistically, the way he moves with angles, the way he puts himself into positions to hit and not get hit? Is there a better boxer right now?
Well, statistically, no. I mean, without question, he's the best defensive fighter in the sport of boxing right now.
King KO says Bivol's not pound for pound. He never fought outside of 175. I get you, but if he goes down to 168 and grabs those titles from Canelo, say they rematch, and he's going to go down to 168. Because I think I've heard that's a better weight for him anyway. He likes that weight anyway. So I don't think he'll have any problems making that weight. If he goes down there, beats Canelo, comes back up, beats Bivol, he's got to be pound for pound, right? I mean, how are you going to even argue it at that point? You know, because he'll be unifying all of them. I mean, you can make a case for it right now. I really believe that. You can make a case for it right now. Because, again, you can't tell me he's better like Spence. What's the difference? Again, if he drops down in weight, because Spence has stayed at the same weight. He's not moved up or down. So if this guy moves down, moves back up, that's a wrap, son. That's what pound for pound is supposed to be, right? Like, if I weigh 147, I can be, if whatever weight I go to, I'm winning. I'm winning that fight.
You're asking the wrong person what pound for pound is supposed to be. I'm not a big pound for pound fan, but I understand, like, who are the best fighters in the sport of boxing. I know who the guys are at the top. I'm not really crazy about pound for pound lists because, again, they are very subjective.
All subjective.
For the most part, everyone usually has the same five guys at the top. You know what I mean? Regardless of the order you may have them in, most guys do have the same guys in their top five. They may not have them in the exact order as each other, but they still have, like, pretty much the same guys.
So King K.O. also agrees with us. He said, of course, but not now. Bivol is not pound for pound. Right. I'm not saying he's pound for pound right now. I'm saying that he should, number one, he should be ranked pound for pound right now. But number two, again, if he drops down, beats Canelo, comes back up, beats Beterbiev, I'm asking you, is there anybody who can compete with that pound for pound wise? I don't see it. Don't see it.
No, that would solidify him as the best boxer on the planet if he did all
without question.
In my opinion, again, once again, It is a subjective thing.
That's right. No, nobody can tell who's right and who's wrong.
Everyone has different criterias for like, a lot of times people really, they minimize the eye test, and the eye test is a big part of the criteria for myself. Even though a lot of people, they dismiss the eye test. And, oh, that's just a, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this. When Floyd Mayweather was ranked number one pound for pound, my pound for pound number one was Andre Ward. I said, this is the guy. Because Floyd Mayweather, to me, is not where he was. He's on a downswing. He's not where he was. Andre Ward is beating top guys night after night, man. Every time he goes out there, he's beating them decisively. And that was my version of the eye test. You know what I mean? Devin Haney is another one. He's my eye test. I like what I see in him. Shakur Stevenson, same way. So, yeah, man.
For me, one thing I like about Terrence Crawford is he's just on another level when it comes to versatility. He's shown us so many different ways to win fights. He's able to go, you know, be southpaw, be orthodox. He can fight on the inside. He can fight on the outside, mid-range. He can outbox guys. He can counterpunch. He can be an offensive stalker. He can even, like, he was in there with Jeff Horn, and he was out-muscling Jeff Horn on the inside, and Jeff Horn was supposedly the bigger guy. He was beating Jeff Horn at his own game in that fight. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Horn was trying to get physical with him, and Terrence Crawford wasn't having it. So this guy has the ability to win in so many different ways. He's just such a complete fighter.
Yeah.
But once again, you know, you can argue that some of these other guys have probably better wins on their record than he does. But again, it's just so tough. It's so hard to quantify this and assess this. Everyone's going to have different arguments and different points of criteria in this, so I can't argue too much against everyone's list, because everyone has a reason for picking who they pick, and who's to say I'm wrong and they're right, or they're right and I'm wrong. So,
yeah,
it's just tough.
Boxing with Frank Bay says, arguing pound for pound is all subjective. That's what we've been saying. So stop arguing it. You make yourself look stupid. Well, what would you like us to talk about, Mr. Frank Bay? What would you like us to talk about? What we had to eat last night? Come on.
I mean,
get with the program here.
Why does it make anyone look stupid if we're having a discussion? Like, why can't we talk about something? Like,
Frank Bay, I'm tired of hearing about it. Well, no,
you're tired of hearing it. I mean, just because you don't like something, like, I'm going to use a Jerry phrase. Do you speak for the rest of the world?
Listen. I don't like red cars. I don't get them. I don't get red cars. But a lot of people like red cars. You know what I mean? So there.
Can I walk into an ice cream parlor and say, I hate coffee ice cream. Take this off the menu because I don't like it. No, because someone else is going to buy it. And I do hate coffee ice cream.
Did you ever go to those ice cream places that have weird flavors of ice cream, like wasabi ice cream or like pumpkin coconut mango ice cream or something like that? You know what I'm talking about? Those are the worst place. Just listen, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Ice cream is good. You don't have to put like different crazy flavors together and try to market your own thing. You know, take a good flavor and put chocolate in it. That's all you have to do. You know, or put strawberry in it, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Showtime card here, man. So David Morrell Jr. versus, I'm going to butcher his name, Idos Yabasanuli. David Morrell wins a TKO over Idos Yabasanuli in the 12th round. There was 30 seconds, Beeb, left in the fight before the stoppage. It reminded me a lot of the Meldrick Taylor, Julio Cesar Chavez, when he had 30 seconds. He stopped the fight with 2 seconds left, but I think he was knocked down with about 30 left. This was a good stoppage, though. He knocked him down twice in that 12th round, and he was leading. I mean, he was up on – he had to win just about every round, you know. He looked – I'll tell you what, Morrell Jr. looked very good last night. And this was a tough guy he was in there with. This wasn't a cakewalk. This guy was undefeated, tough guy, can take a shot, took a lot of shots. Steve, what were your thoughts on him?
Well, a lot of people are, you know, they have questions about David Morrell's resume, and as well they should. But he is fighting guys who are in the top 10. They may not be at the top of the top 10, but they're in the top 10. They're at the bottom portion of the top 10. This gentleman, I'm not going to even attempt to try to, you know, pronounce his name either. I don't want to. If you're going to put
your Boston Newley is what I'm reading in here.
Hey, your boss. Okay. Well, your Boston Newley, right? Was a solid competitor, tough guy. Like you said, is undefeated. But David Morrell really showed us something. He just beat this guy from pillar to post. And the thing about David Morrell too, is the way he's able to position his body and, you know, create openings for himself and just squeeze off those shots. The way he was able to kind of like make that step off to his right and just throw that right hook, kind of like a half hook, a half uppercut, like a 45-degree type hybrid type right hook. The way he made that move, he just stepped off and just boom, real quickly how he was able to put himself in position, set his feet, and get that shot off. Once again, that shows a degree of, you know, being special when you can do something like that. And this guy, you know, you just look at this guy and you can say, this guy is a special talent. He has a lot of potential. Obviously, he still has to prove that potential by fighting the fights. But watching this guy fight, and I'm visualizing how he would do against guys like Plant David Benavidez, and even Canelo for that matter. He's a southpaw. He's a boxer puncher. He's quick. He's explosive. He's got great movement, right? This guy is a problem. This guy is a problem, and based off of what I've seen, I'm not sure if he can beat all those guys, but I think he can definitely hang with all those guys. And you have to question, you know, you can't just sit there and say, well, Clint would beat him or Benavidez would beat him, because you'd have to think about that. You know, you'd have to think about that. This guy's got a decorated amateur career. So I think he could hang with any of those guys. Whether or not he beats them or not, that's another question. But he should be in the conversation. He's a problem.
You know, they're moving him fairly quick. You know,
yeah.
He's a very good fighter. Don't get me wrong. He looks like he has about 20 fights. I mean, if you look at him box, I mean, he looks like he's ready. But they are moving him fairly quick, and that is kind of concerning.
Yeah.
You know.
I think he would beat Plant. I'm not sure if he'd beat Benavidez yet, but I would pick him to beat Plant, in my opinion.
Well, I would pick Benavidez to beat him, but, I mean, well, you know how my track record goes the last couple of weeks, so.
Yeah. I'm picking Benavidez to beat Plant as well.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to Plant, but I just think that
Benavidez is just a big guy, man.
Yeah. I think if, you know, guys who can bang have a can give Plant problems. Even Ustadagi was giving Plant problems in like the last couple of rounds of that fight, and he had him kind of holding on for dear life in certain spots towards the end.
Yeah. On the undercard there, Brian Mendoza versus Jason Rosario. Mendoza was actually a late sub here. He wins via fifth round KO over Jason Rosario. After the fight, Rosario said, "I'm done."
Yeah.
And somebody said that your Boston Newley was still in the hospital. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I just kind of did a quick search on it or whatever. I knew he was taken to the hospital. I haven't heard any updates on him, so I'm assuming he's probably okay. We would have definitely heard otherwise.
Yeah. Well, at least Jason Rosario can say he was a world champion. Achieved the dream of becoming world champion. Not every fighter can do that. So, you know, he's had a good career.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Nothing to hang your head about, man. I mean, I'll tell you that.
This doesn't last forever, right?
Theodore Shirkakazin versus Nathaniel Gallimore. Shirkazin wins by unanimous decision 97-93, 99-91, and 100-90. Andre Durrell beat Unieski Gonzalez via 10th round TKO, which is kind of surprising to me, I'll be honest with you. Kind of surprising.
Good win.
That's a very good win. What's that?
That's a solid win for him.
That is a huge win for him. I mean, that puts him right back on the map. especially with Gonzalez, man. That's a heck of a win.
Yeah, it's a good win.
A heck of a win, man. All right, let's go to the phones. Before we go to the schedule, let's go to the phones here. Jerry is on hold, and we're going to bring him in just a second here, and then we'll get to Robert. So let's bring in Jerry real quick. 410-410, you're live.
Uh-huh. Where to start? Where to start with you? Oh, Lordy, Lord. Let me first start by saying this. I'm here to have a civil debate. I'm not going to yell over anybody. I'm not going to have to interrupt to be heard. I'll talk, you listen. You talk, I'll listen. How's that?
That works for me. I mean, I've always listened. Deeb, does that work for you?
Absolutely, Jerry. We're going to do it your way this week. How's that?
Okay, good. This way we can be heard. So let me just start first by saying, last week, I was talking about Canelo-Golovkin 3 being a competitive fight. As soon as I said it was competitive, you guys flipped out and fell off your chairs and got on the floor and needed oxygen. Okay, you, right away, what was the scoring? What was the scoring? You start yelling about what was the scoring for the fight. Now, I got a feeling that your buddy there knew what the scoring was, but he didn't say. He gave his own personal scorecard. But you Googled or whatever, and you conveniently came back and said, the scoring was 8-4. 8-4. That was the scoring. Right.
That was 4.
But the problem is that was one judge's card. One judge had it 116 to 112, 8-4. The two judges in the majority had it 115, 113. You cherry-picked the one judge
it's
in the minority.
Round.
Pardon?
It's one round.
One judge had it 116, 112, 8-4. You said. You said the scoring was 8-4. That was not the scoring. Two judges.
But you didn't even know the
majority.
Scoring,
no, I did know the scoring. But I was too far deep into the point that I was trying to make to even bother to correct you when you get it. But the scoring is a matter of public knowledge. It was announced in the ring, and anyone can Google and see what the scoring was. It wasn't 8-4, as you stated. And like I said, two of the judges.
But it was
8-4.
The judge scored at 8-4.
That was
one judge.
Who
needs to score
judge?
At 8-4?
Do we not know that
how
judges
did you score
have,
the fight? How did how, okay,
do we
well,
not
how did
know
you score
that
fight?
A fight has three judges? Or are we just going to take the one that favors our argument?
I'm only going to take the one that favors my argument. You know
well,
how
that's
I
what
would.
You did, though. You stated that the scoring was 8-4.
That's what I said.
Right, but it wasn't.
So how did you have it scored, though? How did you have it scored?
Well, as long as we got that confirmed. 116 to 112 on one judge's card, 115, 113 on two judges' cards. That's the official scoring. I wouldn't bother to bring it up, but you are the one who right away said, what was the scoring? What was the scoring? Well, that's what the scoring, the official scoring was. Okay, I scored it 116,
why gave it to you last week?
112. Pardon? No,
you scored
again,
it 116, 112.
It's very verifiable what you said last week. The show's still available. I watched it.
Wait. Okay, just wait a minute here. You scored the fight 116, 112?
Yeah.
Then what are we arguing about?
We're not arguing about nothing. I'm stating facts. You stated an inaccuracy, and I'm correcting your inaccuracy.
I didn't state an
I'm giving you the full judges panel, the three judges cards. You gave one card. One judging and stated it emphatically. It's very verifiable because the show's still available to watch.
What do
you
say?
The scoring was 8-4. Well, I mean, listen, are we going to talk conjecture? We're going to talk facts. I'm just correcting you on what is factual. The scoring is public knowledge. That's what was announced in the ring, and it's easily Googled to see what the scoring
was. I got to be honest here. This sounds a lot like sour grapes, man. If you had
well,
the fight scored 116-112.
It sounds more to me that you just don't want to admit that you were wrong about what you stated. But I'll move forward because it's easily verifiable.
But I wasn't because the score was 116-112, was it not?
Was it one judge that scored the fight?
Yes. You also scored the fight the same way I did and the same way the judge did.
No, no, no. We're
so
talking about the scoring of the fight,
that. Okay.
Which
let's,
is the first thing
that
you asked.
Okay, wait a second. I let you talk. Now, let me talk. Let's take that for a minute. Now, you said that this was a, you know, quote-unquote competitive fight, which 8-4 is not really that competitive. Am I right?
No, not in my opinion.
Did you thought the fight last night was competitive?
The
B-ball fight. The B-ball Ramirez fight.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jerry.
But let's not defer.
Jerry,
somebody's right and someone's wrong about what I just stated, and I'm right.
Why
and
do
you're
you have
wrong.
To be?
It's
why is it
simple?
Why is it so important to you to be right?
Well, because it's a matter of
why
fact.
Why is
right?
it that important?
You're the first one that asked about the scoring.
I put my face on here. Let me tell you this. I put my face on here every single week, and I say ridiculous stuff. I say factual stuff sometimes, but either way, I always say. I picked Bivol or I picked Zerto last week or whatever. I've been picking him since the fight was made. Came on here, admit I'm wrong. Yeah, okay,
well,
so what?
Well, we already knew you were wrong.
Why is this
so important to you to admit it?
Well,
we already knew you were wrong about
this
that.
Let me tell you this, Jerry, this goes deeper. Let me tell you this. This is a character thing with you.
This goes deeper than this conversation.
Now, I'm being serious.
When you get your philosophy degree, then I'll feel the need, Jerry.
I have a master's degree.
Oh,
when you feel the need to be right all the time, that's a character issue, my man.
And all the time, you are wrong about that. That's the bottom line. Your character issue is
I'm wrong all the time.
Well, I am wrong all the time.
Again,
to reiterate,
I just admit it. I'm wrong
all
the time.
Competitive. You immediately wanted to know what the scorecards were.
I gave you the scorecard, and it wasn't competitive.
You gave one scorecard.
Can I just jump in here?
Hold on. Let me jump in here.
Let me jump in real quick. I'm gonna give you some credit, and I'm going to be fair to you. The argument wasn't about how the fight was scored, because you're right, 150%. The judges had this as a competitive fight. But just
two of the judges had it as a competitive fight.
Okay.
Yeah, two out of the three.
Well, the majority, which is the majority, and I guess the argument that Eric and I are trying to make is just like when Canelo Golovkin won was a draw, right? I guess the argument we're trying to make is what the judges scored that fight was not really an accurate description on how the majority of the people scored that fight and what the majority of the people saw.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So on paper, yeah, that's going to go down as a competitive fight, right? Because 115 to 113 is a close fight. But I guess my argument was last week was objectively watching that fight and the people that were watching it with me and all the people that were talking about the fight and all the YouTubers and everything, right? Very few people, if any. I'm not going to say no one. Like, there's another guy on here that actually scored the fight a draw, and that's fine. But we are saying just by watching that fight, it did not look like a competitive fight at all. But it was scored as a competitive fight. So you're right. You're 100% right in that. My argument and Eric's argument was always that we disagreed with those judges. Now, whether that matters or not is not important, because obviously it doesn't matter because we're not officially scoring the fight. But just by looking at something, right, I gave Golovkin two rounds. The majority of people that watched the fight, I think, gave him like three rounds tops.
Maybe.
A lot of people scored the fight 10-2, 9-3. You know what I'm saying? Now, I scored the Bradley fight 115 and 113 just like the judges did. But to this day, people still say, Beav, you must be blind. How could you have done that? So I'm just – there's just certain instances when you watch a fight, and not only certain instances, many instances when you watch a fight, And it just appears that the judges got it wrong. Like when Canelo fought Bivol, all three judges had that fight 115 and 113.
It wasn't that close.
Nobody agreed with those scorecards. So now, in fairness, Jerry, if you agreed with those scorecards, that's your right to do so. You know what I'm saying? That's your right to do so. I think where you struck a nerve last week was when you were basically attacking. I'm not going to use the word attack, but you were overly critical of us for saying the fight was not competitive. And that, and then because of how overly critical you were of us, it was natural for us to come back at you and like, well, you're going to criticize us. What about you? You know what I'm saying? Because you said it so confidently and unequivocally, it was a statement that could be unopposed, and it wasn't really that clear cut. Like you have to at least concede the point that there's a strong argument against claiming that fight was competitive because the majority of the people that watched it said it wasn't competitive. Now you don't have to agree with the majority, but the stance you took last week was as if your opinion was the majority because you were so definite and so unequivocal in your opinion. Your opinion you felt as though was so much stronger than everyone else's opinion, or at least that's the impression I got. So that's why I came at you the way I came at you, because I disagree with people's scorecards all the time. Many a times my scorecard is in the minority, right? I've watched fights before, and I would say this fight is close, and other people will say, no, it's not close. And I say, oh, we have a disagreement. But you were just so, like, set in your opinion, and you felt as though there was no opposition to your opinion, or there was not no one could see it any other way than than the way that you saw it, in other words. And maybe you didn't mean that, but that's the way it came off.
Okay, well, the first thing is I said that I thought the fight was competitive. Okay, yeah, I stated it as a matter of fact because that's how I feel. When I said the fight was competitive, you guys started getting outlandish and saying that you needed oxygen, I needed to be drug tested, it was the most outlandish thing to be said. That's what you said. Now, your partner there immediately started asking for the scoring. Not me, him. He started asking for the official. Let me finish.
I told you, this guy always needs to be right.
Well, we've got to reiterate because things are being misunderstood. You asked for the official scoring.
Jerry, here's the problem.
Then you Googled the scoring, and you cherry-picked one judge that was in the minority and announced that as the scoring. Okay? So
what?
I gave one score. Well, but here, because that it all pertains to the point, and if we're speaking a matter of fact, then we got to stick to the facts. The scoring that you announced was not the accurate scoring. It was one judge. One judge. You took the minority judge, and you went with that, which is coincidentally how I scored the fight, 116 to 112. But you ignored the other two judges. But to move forward,
so what?
I scored the fight 116 to 112.
So what?
Okay, well, so but
yeah, but Jerry, you ignored the other two judges too. You know why? Because you didn't bring it up last week. You're bringing it up. You're bringing it up now, Jerry. So why did you ignore the other two judges?
The facts matter, whether it was then or now. The facts matter.
Wait a minute, Jerry.
Facts matter, buddy. Understand that.
Jerry, answer my question, Jerry. Jerry, answer my question, sir. Why did you not come back at Eric and saying, well, okay, that's one part.
Because
one
I was
part.
Very
well,
busy
had a
defending the point that I was
that's
making.
Because he had a whole week to sleep on it.
Why did you not bring it up last
but
week,
but
Jerry?
Because
he had a whole week to sleep on it.
I had a week to sleep on it. It's still a matter of fact whether it was this week or last week.
He was probably thinking last Wednesday, like, I got him now.
Jerry,
I'm going to come back. I'm going to get him. Because two judges had it 115-113.
Now, sorry that the facts matter, and I had to correct you, but it is what it is. You know, I don't have to be right, and you don't have to be wrong. Anyone can go view the show and listen to what it was.
Last night was close. Well, where's your show at?
But Jerry, here's
moving
the thing.
Moving forward, I scored the fight 116-112. So let's take that card
Jerry,
say this. At 116-112, that's
Jerry,
8-4, right?
Jerry,
if that judge...
Jerry, you didn't challenge him.
Why are we talking about Canelo's card?
Jerry, he didn't
fight yesterday.
Jerry, you waited a whole week to bring that up. You know why? Because at the time...
Does it make it any less right or wrong?
He didn't have it, that's why.
Jerry, at the time you made your argument, let's be honest, Jerry. At the time you made your argument, did you
it's
know
still
that
right.
the
It's still factual. So go ahead and say what you got to say, but you can't change
a week
the
later.
Fact.
He comes back
Jerry,
this, and we
oh,
know
a
in
week
the
later.
Debate.
No, it's okay.
Oh, kind of like with your
Jerry,
insight
Jerry,
on what
you got to be fast, baby.
A week later.
You got to be fast. You got to be quick.
But Jerry,
I'd rather be
Jerry,
right.
Jerry, just answer this question.
Ask it.
Did you know last week the other two judges scored the fight 115-113? Yes or no?
Did you listen 2 minutes ago when I told you I knew what the scoring was when he said that? We were in the middle of a debate. I didn't have time to stop and make that point while I was trying to make
well,
the other
if that
point
was
while
be
you
were
on
but,
the
but
ground
But you had a week to come
awesome.
Back and you made that point? That's the lame
all
point you came back
that's,
with?
That's
all
the
I'm
first
telling
point.
Jerry,
that's
Jerry,
the first
you
point.
Jerry,
you don't
Jerry,
like the
I'm
truth,
here,
what
Jerry,
can I do?
You ought to listen to BB's trying to help you, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm trying to help
I
you.
I don't need
if
help.
You would have said, if you said,
you,
if you,
you, you do. Trust me, you do, because you're getting decimated right now.
Oh,
Jerry,
I see. Right.
Jerry, can I just say something to you, please? If you came back last week and you said to Eric, okay, you had 116-112, but the other two judges had it 115-113, right then and there, Eric, that tells you that was a close fight. That would have been checkmate for you, and I would have tipped the king. But the whole argument, basically, because judging as you said last week, is subjective, correct? So
I didn't ask for the judging.
Those
he did.
Cards... Okay, but Jerry, can we at least admit this point? Factually,
probably not. But
that's the score. Can we agree on this point, Jerry? The 115 and 113 scorecards reflected the judges scored that as a close fight. So officially, it was looked upon as a close fight. But as people who watch the sport of boxing, do we have the right to disagree with the judges' scorecards, yes or no?
What happens all the time. I never argued that.
So I guess the argument wasn't that the fight was scored as a close fight. The argument was, we thought it wasn't.
Okay, fine.
And your
fine.
Immediate response, wait a minute, you know where you set off the argument, Jerry? When you tried to discredit Eric's opinion, when Eric said the fight wasn't close, and you said, well, that's coming from a guy who said Canelo was going to knock him out. Hey, you were wrong about that. Like, so you were trying to discredit Eric, and you were very condescending in the way you presented your point.
Yes, you were.
So because of the way you came after you initiated the condescension.
Oh, I see.
You drew, like Sylvester Stallone said, you drew first blood.
Right. Well, that's another matter of debate. But let's take the 116-112 card. That's eight rounds.
I don't want to talk about Canelo versus Triple G anymore. I want to talk about the fight last night.
I see.
Because
I see.
You said this fight was close or competitive last night. Mm-hmm. Please elaborate on this.
Yeah, okay. Well, since we're all a fight aficionados and we've been watching fights since before we were born, have you never watched
sure.
a fight where the rounds are extremely close? But one fighter edges the round because it's extremely close. Maybe one punch separates the difference between who won that round and who lost it. Sometimes it's the punch stats are even, but you got to score the round. So maybe you favor the guy, fighter A, because he was coming forward. Something as little as that, as he was the one coming forward. The fight goes the distance 12 rounds, and you edge fighter A 9 rounds. But each round, you edge him only by a piece. Numerically, at the end of the fight, fighter A wins wide. But the fight was competitive throughout because he only won those rounds And if you've watched boxing, like you say, you've not just seen some fights list, you've seen dozens of fights like this. The commentators will be saying, the judges got their hands full. These rounds are very close. They're hard to separate. This is a prime example of how a fight can go the distance, be numerically
one-sided,
but competitive.
We understand how the fight can be close. We got it. We understand that. I get it. I've seen fights like that before. Last night was not one of those fights, though. And that's what I'm asking you about.
Subjective. I'll be the first to admit and say competitive is a subjective term. There's no right, there's no wrong there. But the point I'm making stands in that the scenario I just presented to you represents a perfect case scenario where two competitors are competing and the fight's competitive, but one guy wins the majority of the rounds.
How was Ramirez being competitive last night? Because I gave him one round.
Okay, you're going by the rounds. Now, if you was to ask the fighter, if you was to ask Morell, I would bet anything that he would say, yes, that guy is a hell of a competitor. He's a hell of a competitor, and it was a competitive fight. A fight going the distance by nature, just on its own, has an element of competitiveness just by the fundamental fact that it went the distance, because if it was non-competitive, it wouldn't have went the distance. Somebody would have stopped it, you see? Now, that doesn't mean it can't
be outside. Tell me how Ramirez – listen, I don't want to hear your philosophy on what you think is competitive and what you don't think is competitive. Tell me why Ramirez was competitive. You got to listen to me because you're tuning into my show. Yes, that's right. So I'm asking you, how was Ramirez competitive?
I'm not going to go any further down the rabbit hole with you. Competitive is subjective. I'll freely admit
that. I'm asking you, how was, in your opinion, Ramirez competitive last night?
Yeah, what did Ramirez do?
I've already told you how. The fight went the distance.
Tell me
the guy
again.
Was never off his feet. The guy was throwing punches the whole fight. He was losing the rounds. It was clear Morell was a better fighter, and he was winning the rounds.
Let me stop you.
But if it was non-competitive, it would have went three rounds, and he would have stopped them, and that would have been that. You see? Kind of like you predicted Golovkin would get done by Canelo. But that didn't happen.
He's still on that.
And neither did it happen in that fight.
No, but he just about did because it was a one-sided fight, Jerry. See what I'm saying? It was a one-sided
fight. Numerically one-sided. No argument there. The decision was a wide decision. But, again, we come back to the subjective nature of the term of competitiveness.
So you thought he was competitive. Let me understand this. So you thought Ramirez was competitive because he got in the ring, he didn't leave his feet, and he was throwing punches. Stop it.
Yeah.
Are we really – that's your argument?
That was no argument. That's my opinion.
I mean, really? That's your argument. That's what you're telling me.
That's what I'm telling you.
I said he's not competitive. You said he was competitive.
Jerry,
yes,
let me ask you this. What were some of the things that Ramirez – Jerry, hold up. What were some of the things that Ramirez did last night that you were impressed by? What do you think he did that made him competitive in this fight? What were some of the things that you liked that he did against Bivol?
Well, first off, he was obviously durable. You see, when you're a non-competitor, you're not durable. You get your ass whipped and you get taken right out. So the first thing is to be durable, which he was. Secondly, his punch output wasn't what his opponent's was, but his will to fight and to compete was strong throughout the fight. He was doing the best that he could.
Right.
It clearly wasn't good enough, but you never seen him backing up, running, or trying his best to get out of the fight, you see? This is the nature of being competitive. Just like when Mayweather would fight Makoto, Mosley, all those guys. He beat them wide, but every time he would say, these guys are great competitors, because he knew that he had to go the distance in those fights. You see?
Jerry, by your logic, can you give me a fight that wasn't competitive?
Certainly. That's ridiculous. Like I told you, you must not listen.
I think your opinion is ridiculous on this was a competitive fight.
When a fighter comes out and blows a fighter out.
First round KO. Explain it to me because I don't get it.
I know what he's saying. And I'm actually going to respect his opinion on this one. What he is saying is if someone shows the ability to compete, right, they're not giving up. They're trying, and they're taking everything that's being thrown at them, in essence, they are showing a willingness to compete, and they're not giving up. So in that regard, he's saying that Ramirez, on the sheer fact that he was trying to compete and kept trying and didn't give up.
See, I disagree with that. I think he did check out in that fight.
He's using that as the fighter being competitive. He's using it as a mentality type thing.
It's not just that. It's that, and also he didn't get stopped, or he wasn't like he was getting knocked down and beat from pillar to post and concussed in each round and getting his ass totally whipped. You see, it's not just that.
So if the guy goes the distance, it was competitive?
Again, did you not just hear what I just said? It wasn't that he just went
to distance. What you're saying doesn't make a lot of sense. I got to be honest with you. Because,
Jerry, can I ask
Let me make it simple for you. In my opinion,
that's the only language
a fight
you
can be numerically dominated by one fighter and still be competitive. There. That's as simple as I can
just for the sheer fact that the other guy is still competing is what you're saying, right?
Well, you want to minimalize what I'm saying, and I keep elaborating on exactly what I'm saying, and you want
because
to kind
it's
of
not
box
worth
it.
Maximizing.
You want to box it in this minimal way to try to like corner my argument like it's non-substantial. But again,
I'm not attacking you.
I've explained to you what
I'm not criticizing. I'm not criticizing you. You're acting as if you're acting defensive.
I said minimalize,
minimalize.
He's trying to help you. I know you don't,
I don't
understand it.
Trust me,
he's trying.
Trust me, you
do. Trust me, you do.
No, you do.
Man, you do.
I'm trying to learn and understand your side.
Well, you're getting a better understanding than your partner. He's thick. He can't understand no matter how much I elaborate. Maybe he should just say, I disagree. And I'd say, okay, well, we disagree. But I can't explain him too much better than what I already have. If you disagree,
as long as they go the distance, fight's competitive.
You know what we're going to do here, Jerry?
If it's a statistical whitewash, the fight was competitive as long as he goes the distance.
There's the minimalization argument.
Jerry.
That's an effort to minimize what I've explained.
Jerry, let's try this. I'm going to ask you one last question, and then we'll move on from this because we all three of us have philosophical differences here, and we're not going to meet common ground. And that's understood. We're going to have to just agree to disagree on this one. Have you ever watched a fight where someone did not get hurt or knocked down or knocked out and say to yourself at the end of that fight that this fight was not competitive?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
fair enough.
You want to know what the distinction is?
No,
what's that?
Not sure. Really.
Tell me. Tell me, Jerry. Go ahead.
Yeah. In that case, fighter A wins most of the rounds, 9 rounds out of 12, let's say. But fighter B is getting knocked down throughout the fight. He's being wobbled. He's being beat to a pulp. And the fight's one-sided. Now, typically those fights don't go to the distance because typically they get stopped. But I've been watching boxing a long time. I've seen plenty of fights that were one-sided where the guy wasn't just losing on a competitive level. He was getting beat silly throughout the fight. And there is a key distinction between a fight that's numerically dominated by one fighter that isn't competitive. Since you want more elaboration, yeah, that is an
Well, if you had good points,
fight.
You wouldn't need to elaborate them, Jerry.
But you can't understand shit. You can't understand
but
minimal,
well.
Minimal boxed. You need minimal fundamental things, I guess.
Because
when I elaborate, and explain, you say you don't understand. But at least your partner there is getting a grasp.
Jerry, I understand your point of view. I respectfully disagree with a lot of the things you're saying.
Like 99% of it.
You have a right to say what you're saying. Okay, let's move on from this topic. Let's talk about the fights this week. What did you think of them? Go ahead.
I thought they were great fights, and I thought the Morell fight was a great fight. He's got a ton of talent. I wouldn't put him in with Benavidez right now too soon, but he possibly could compete and maybe even beat Benavidez, but I'd give him another 3 or 4 fights, and even then he's only got 10 or 11 fights and then push him towards the bigger fights. the Bivol fight, what can you say? Bivol is an example of a fighter that I've seen a bunch of times that was way better than anyone knew he was. He just didn't get the chances. He didn't get the promotional push and opportunity, and now he has, starting with Canelo, that fight last night, and he's showing that, you know, while we might have all thought that he was pretty good, he's actually better than what most people even thought that he was. Against Biburev, I think that's a good fight. I'd probably favor Bivol, but Biburev's got that hammer. And so I don't ever get too far off on any fighter, no matter their performance, to not know from watching boxing what can happen in the next fight. So while I would favor Bivol against Biburev, I wouldn't say there's no way he could beat him, couldn't beat him, or no way, or make some ridiculous overstatement. Biburev is a big puncher, and if he catches Bivol, things could be totally lopsided knockout. So regardless of what Bivol did last night or against Canelo, that's a different fight, a different opponent, and like I say, I favor Bivol, and that's that on that. Other than that, the only other fight that I've seen between the Morrell fight, the undercard fights were good fights too on that PBC card, but I did see the Jake Paul fight, and I have to say that I don't hate that kid. He's working hard. He's taking himself real seriously, and each time I see him, he gets a little bit better, and he seems to have a fighter's spirit, because I've seen him take big punches to where he easily could have said, you know, screw this. This ain't for me. I'm out of here. And he doesn't do it. He gets a little bit better each time. He may never be a world-class fighter on par with the other guys. He obviously got a late start, but I can't hate on him. He had a big crowd in there, and in a backhanded way, I think he's good for boxing.
Look at that. Jerry, you just redeemed yourself. You went from zero to hero. I've been telling everybody Jake Paul, and Jake Paul's from Titletown, baby. I know you know that. Jerry just redeemed himself with that comment right there. That was perfect. Perfect.
Well,
Jerry,
I don't know if
running.
You paid. Yeah.
We're going to get running. We got other calls, man. Thank you so much for calling in. There you go.
Jerry, thank you for your attention and patience.
Beeb, you were very good. I got to be honest with you. You were very good. You told me before we came on the show, because I know Jerry got under your skin last week because you were talking about it quite a bit. But I got to give you props, my man. You stayed very calm there. Even asked him his opinion, even when he was babbling and didn't make any sense. You stayed the course.
But once again, this is what's great waking up every day in the skin of Joe Habib.
Yes.
Every day is a learning experience. I looked back on the show last week. I watched it 10 times, and I laughed my ass off every time I watched it. But if I'm being objective and realistic, it was a very unproductive conversation. And this week, I wanted to get a productive conversation. I wanted to understand Jerry this week. Yes. I wanted to empathize with Jerry. I wanted to be open-minded with everything Jerry was saying.
Sure.
And I didn't want to come off as condescending, and I didn't want to discredit what he had to say. I think he has a right to his own opinion.
And I will tell you this. I think last week when he hung up, I got to be honest, sounded a little bit scared of you. So I don't think he wanted any more of the beef. I got to be honest. That's why he came after me. Now, that blew up into space. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he does now. You know,
I went to Publix and the register.
Fine
and
store,
the kid,
by the way.
The kid at the register was probably about 13 years old. He was giving me the side eye. I ran out of there, man. So believe me, I'm not an intimidating guy at all.
There you go. Neither am I. I tell you that right now. Not at all. Neither one of us, Beeb, have an intimidating bone in our body.
All right.
There you go. All right. Robert is out there somewhere. Let's see if we can fish him out of this madness. 530, you're live.
Hello, guys.
Robert,
how are you?
How do you feel being demoted to caller number two now? You used to be caller number one every week. Now Eric decides to demote you to caller number two.
Well,
again, this was not my decision. This was solely an Eric Lorda decision. I did not make this decision.
Robert, this was definitely not a demotion. This was definitely not a demotion. If anything, it's a promotion because we're putting somebody else on to open for you as the main event.
That's right. Well, I was beginning to wonder whether I wanted to follow the argument because I wasn't quite sure which way it was going.
It's an easy argument to follow, though. I will be honest with you. It's not like
yes,
he tore it up.
Yes, it is.
Do you agree with Jerry's argument? Do you agree with Jerry's argument, Robert?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I don't.
Put a poll up, see if anybody agreed with it.
I don't. Yep. Look, I picked Zerto, and of course, I was very disappointed with his performance yesterday.
Did you call him Zerto? Did you call him Zerto?
I called him Zerto, yes.
Oh, he said Zerto otherwise.
Zerto.
I thought you called him Nerdo.
No, Zerto. I picked Zerto. I thought he had a good chance of winning, but, I mean, my God. That was a 10-2 fight if I've ever seen a 10-2 fight. I mean, I don't know what Ramirez's game plan was, but I think Eric hit the nail on the head. It was in the third round when he got hit with that one combination. He backed off after that and said to himself, you know what? I don't know if I want any more of this. And basically played it safe throughout the rest of the fight. Very, very disappointing. But
so let me ask you this, Robbie.
Okay.
Bivol versus Beterbiev. Who do you? Bivol versus Beterbiev. Who do you like?
I like Bivol.
Oh, you front runner.
And you know what? And you know what? I don't know. And you know what? I don't know if I would have said that before yesterday.
You front runner.
You know, I don't know. Aww. But, and you know what? I like Eric's plan for B-ball, and I hope he pulls it off. I hope he goes down to 168, challenges Canelo, wins all of those belts, goes back up to 175 and collects those belts. I mean, that would make him the best boxer, period, and nobody else could argue
with
that.
Who touches him? Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, who touches him at that point? Nobody, right?
Absolutely nobody.
I mean, that's got to be anybody's definition of pound for pound. Nobody's touching that guy.
And you know what? He could go into the Hall of Fame tomorrow, and nobody could argue with his resume after that. You do those two things, I'd like to see somebody argue that. I really would.
There you go.
I really would.
That's it, man.
And you know what? I've always liked B-Ball, but I never thought that he would be able to go in and beat Canelo the way that he did and then turn around and beat one of the top guys in light heavyweight, who, by the way, doesn't look like he's a light heavyweight. He looks like he belongs in the heavyweight division. I mean, Zerto came in there so big yesterday, I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, if he hits him, B-Ball may never get up. You know, because of the size difference. I was absolutely impressed with what he was able to do yesterday, considering that Ramirez came in so much bigger than he did. I mean, that's impressive in itself. And I hope B-Ball does both of those things. I hope he challenges Canelo for those belts, and I hope he goes up and challenges Beterbiev for the rest of the light heavyweight belts. As a boxing fan, I would look forward to both of those fights. But I don't know what you do with Zerto Ramirez. He looks like he's too big for light heavyweight. Do you move him up to cruiser, or what do you do with him?
Yeah, I don't know what you do with him now. I mean, listen, he couldn't handle the punching power of Bivol yesterday. And Bivol hurt him quite a bit yesterday. I really think that. I mean, he did not come forward, and it wasn't because of Bivol's footwork or anything like that. It's because he got popped. Robert, let me ask you a question. Did you think yesterday's fight was competitive?
No, absolutely not. That's why I said I scored a 10-2 yesterday, and there's no way it was competitive. No, absolutely not. I mean, I don't know how anybody can say a 10-2 scorecard or a 9-3 scorecard is competitive. And let me comment on the Canelo Triple G thing. Those two judges that scored at 7-5, they were rooting for Triple G. I mean, that's the only explanation I can give, because that was not a 7-5 fight. I'm sorry.
Careful, Robbie. These are serious allegations you're throwing out there.
Well,
people can take this recording and use it as evidence in court now, because this is a This is serious defamation that you're doing right now against Triple G, and you've been doing it a long time now.
Let me jump in here, guys, real quick. Let me jump in here. Thank you so much, D-Style Boxing. He's dropped a couple of these throughout the show. I appreciate it. We couldn't get to him because we're back and forth with conversation, but thank you so much, D-Style. Always supports the show. Go check out the roundtable on his channel, D-Style Boxing. He's awesome. Thank you so much, brother. Robert, go ahead.
And everybody hit the like button, by the way. Come on. Let's get those likes up, shall we?
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go.
Are you going to argue with that?
That was not a competitive fight yesterday. I'm sorry. I've watched boxing for over 50 years, and I know what a 10-2 fight looks like. I know what a 9-3 fight looks like. You know?
Watch the 50-year card out, man.
You know?
Someone's pulling rank on the amount of years. Like, what do you guys want? One guy last week says, I've been watching boxing for 40 years. You say you've been watching 50 years. What do you want? You guys want, like, fucking gold watches and stuff?
Right.
No.
I don't want to let you know how long I've been watching boxing, man. That really dates you, you know?
I'm actually embarrassed to tell you how long I've been watching this.
I know, right?
It makes me look and sound dated. I don't want people to know how long I've been watching this for.
What do you want?
Give me a couple dozen donuts for your troubles? Jesus.
All right, guys. Anyway, and David Morrell looked good, by the way, last night. Although, you're right, he is beating the guys he's supposed to beat, but he's only 8-0. I don't know how fast you want to move him. They've been putting him in with decent opponents, but how fast do you want to step up his level? I realize he's a Cuban. He comes from the Cuban school of boxing, and Lomachenko kind of changed things by winning a title in his third fight. I realize we can't look at, you know, fighters' records the same anymore, but, how fast do you want to move him up in the rankings? He's only had 8 fights, but 7 of them have been knockouts.
There you go. Yeah. All right, Robert, we're going to get moving here.
Okay, see ya.
I'll keep you on the line. 608, is this Wisconsin maybe? 608, you're live.
Hi, do you hear me?
Yes, who am I speaking
Hello?
To? Yes.
Joe from I didn't see the fight, but I think I can expand on the point about how a one-sided fight can be competitive, because I was just thinking back to, I remember I was watching Meldrick Taylor versus John Meekins, and every round, I'd say it was about a 12-0, 10-2 fight, but Meldrick Taylor would like slightly edge out the rounds. Again, I didn't see the fight last night, but
Can I jump in just two seconds here real quick? Did you think the fight last night was competitive? With Bivol and Ramirez?
I didn't see the fight.
Okay, you didn't see it. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, but like something like that, like I would consider Pacquiao Margarito competitive, even though it was a one-sided fight. You know, like because the danger is there, like Margarito was getting body shots in there here and there. But, I guess, I didn't see the fight, but I think maybe that's what Jerry was saying, I guess, about like how you could see a one-sided, like a 12, like even like Floyd Canelo, I thought like it was probably a 9-3 fight or 10-2. That fight was a lot of fainting, a lot of missed punches, and Floyd's probably won majority of the rounds by like one or two big shots or like clean shots to edge out the round.
All right, but
the
point was, I understand what he's saying, and we've all had fights like that. We've all seen fights like that where it was a wide score, but it was a little bit closer than what you would think. You know, we've all seen fights like that. However, the Triple G Canelo 3 fight to me was not close. The fight last night was not close. It was not competitive, and I didn't think that Triple G fight was that competitive either. And I think that's what we're kind of referring to.
Okay. Yeah, I think this.
Even if you're nicking 9 rounds, you're still winning 9 rounds. You're winning like 80% of almost 80% of the fight. So
right.
It's still a one-sided fight, regardless if the like rounds are competitive or not, you've lost 9 rounds.
Oh yeah, I
so
totally
statistically,
agree with that.
I think in today's day and age, we're looking for participation trophies to just hand out to everybody. We're rewarding guys just for trying hard, and that's a bad message to send the kids. And listen,
that's
a bad message.
Just because you were trying does not make the fight competitive.
I totally agree. I'm just saying, I totally agree with all that. I'm just saying, there's fights where they can win majority every round, but if he just slightly edge of the round every single round.
You're still winning nine rounds,
yeah. If a football game is 52-7, we would all agree that that game wasn't close. But the other team was trying. I can't say that the team wasn't trying.
That's like saying let me just finish. That's like saying Steph Curry hit 10 three-pointers in one game. But you see the defense? They had a hand in his face each and every time. That was a competitive a game. Even though they hit 10 three-pointers and they won by 30 points, they were trying so hard. They were up in his face. Yeah, but they still got blown out. He hit 10 three-pointers, even with the hand in his face. He still hit the three-pointers.
They were challenging.
Yeah,
they were being competitive. I get that, but it wasn't competitive.
I agree. I don't watch any other sports, so
because you have a strong willingness to compete does not mean you're competitive. You don't get a participation trophy for trying hard and not giving up. You'll get a pat on the back, and you'll get a pat on the back and a handshake and a hug, but you're not going to get an extra money in your check for doing that.
Well, I agree, but I don't think anybody's saying. Like I said, I didn't see the fight last night. I guess what I was saying with I'm just using Canelo and Floyd. That's the best way I can use an example. I mean, there's no way anybody could say, "Oh, Canelo deserved that fight." No, of course Floyd won, but I'm just saying if you slightly edge out around, it was still clearly. There's no way you could give it to Canelo, but it wasn't a beatdown either. You know what I'm saying?
You shouldn't have to dominate a round to get credit for winning it either.
Right.
Well, okay.
Very true. Hey, if you didn't see that fight last night, I would recommend you go back and watch it, man. I really would. Because Bivol looked great last night. He really did. I had Zerto winning the fight. I didn't score it, but I picked him to win that fight. But Bivol did great, man.
Yeah, Bivol. I'm a Bivol fan. I just missed it because I was at a wedding, and I'm gonna watch it later tonight. But I was hoping he'd win because I was tired of hearing like how he was ducking this guy. Like I want to see Bivol. You know, then I started hearing people would really change. I didn't see how people thought Ramirez would win. I think he was too slow to be. That's why I wasn't surprised that I heard that he won pretty easy actually, but. But yeah, I was just saying how that guy with Jerry. I mean, like I said, like I was just using the example of Melder Taylor Meekins. Like Melder Taylor got beat up in the fight, but he won every round. You know, I guess he was trying to say, but I don't know. Melder Taylor Meekins. It was like, Melder Taylor won every round, but he also got his ass kicked in the fight. I mean, like he edged out every round, but yeah, I guess that's. I mean, that's.
Got you, brother. Gotcha.
All right, Joe. Okay. We're gonna get running, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Great show.
All right, man. Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Let's see here. 915. You're live.
What's going on? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me? All right. Cool. You know, this whole – look, people are playing semantics with this competitive thing. Look, we already understand that it's not a mismatch and these guys belong in the ring with each other. Like, we already know that. We already know, like, that's why we scored 10-9. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're only gaining 1 point over the opponent because you're competing in the ring with them, right? That's why it's 10-9. That's why, like, technically, if you really dominate a round, you could do a 10-8. Like, we already know this. I just don't understand what this whole, it's competitive, and I agree with B. People just want to give a participation trophy. Like, who gives a shit if you feel, like if everyone agrees that a guy won a round, it's not close. It's only a close round if people are actually debating with one another on who won a round. That's what makes a round close, okay? Every, like, boxing and all professional sports at a high level, all of them, it's all about milliseconds. It's all about that one fraction of a second of timing. It's about being perfect with your timing and all that. It's already close. Like, we already know this. However, the guy that's constantly getting the better of the other dude is clearly winning the fight in other sports. If a guy could be 1 inch away from blocking the basketball, just 1 inch, but guess what? If the basket goes in, it goes in, right? I just don't understand this argument. It's frustrating listening to this shit, all right? If you lose 10 rounds, you lost 10 rounds, point blank, period. Like, no one can argue more than 3 rounds, in my opinion, for Zurdo. Nobody. Just because he showed heart, because he has a heart of a lion, and he's a good person, and he had determination, and all boxers have this already. You don't just get credit for that. That's not how it works, all right? So I just wanted to say that, and I also wanted to say that Bivol is a special fighter, and people need to realize this. He's been undervalued, and I remember, like, thinking to myself, he could be that guy kind of like Sergio Martinez was, under the radar, and then boom. Like, he just kind of – everyone sees how good he is. And I think he beats Beterbiev. I would favor him to win that fight. It's not an easy fight, but I would favor him to win that fight. And that one will be close. You know why? Because I think Beterbiev would at least win 4 or 5 rounds in that fight. That's why I think it would be competitive, and he'll be an actual danger in the ring to Bivol. But I think Bivol will rise to that occasion, and I don't think we've even seen him have to get to that second, third year yet. I think Beterbiev will force him to do that, and I think we will see the best of Bivol. I think it's going to be a great fight. In my opinion, it's probably the best all-Russian fight in the history of boxing. You know what I mean? So I think it's a big deal. It's a fight I want to see. And if I'm Canelo, like, bro, I'm chill. If I'm Canelo, I fight somebody else. Let Bivol fight Beterbiev. And if you're going to take that risk again in a rematch, well, at least do it for all the belts. You know, that's what I would do if I'm Canelo. And maybe Beterbiev, you know, softens them up a little bit for you. You know, so, like, if I'm Canelo, that's what I do. Let him fight Beterbiev. He might have a war with him, and then I could fight him after that for all the belts. But that's all I got.
All right, D-Style. Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Good points. Got good points, man. I get it. Chicago, 773. I believe it's Chicago. 773, you're live.
Dmitry Bivol. You know. The best fighter I've ever seen. Pound for pound, best fighter I've ever laid eyes on. He don't get no better, boys. That boy, he don't play
good.
That. He don't play that. Bivol, yeah. You know, it's exciting. Bivol versus Beaver. Beaver, yes. What did Jerry call him? He called him Bivol. Beterbiev. That's going to be a good one. I'll tell you right now, don't count out Beterbiev either, because he's a beast in his own right. So I remember people saying the same thing about Gajdik when he fought Gajdik. Oh, this is a pick 'em. These are both undefeated champions, and he went in there and destroyed him. So I'll tell you right now, for me, that's the best fight they can make in boxing. Better than Fury Usyk, better than Spence Crawford. To me, that is the best fight in boxing. Beterbiev versus Bivol. And right now, I put Bivol in pound for pound. I put both of them in pound for pound. Beterbiev and Bivol, they're both in the top 10. Where you could pick a number and they justify it. They're right up there with any of them. I will say this. Bivol versus Beterbiev. Now, remember Beterbiev, they're counting that fight out versus Gajdik. Gavzik was he was a man. I think Beterbiev went in there as an underdog. And what happened, Beterbiev went in there and retired him. And that was coming off of Gavzik put in, what's his name, in a coma. Sent him to the hospital, retiring Stevenson. So these dudes are big power punchers. And you can't count out either of them. What you guys thought? We've got two of things here. Fuck out and have a good day.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Kevin. Perfect. All right, we're going to go all the way across country for this next call, Beeb. This guy's calling in from Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon. 971, you're live.
Oh, howdy. Hey. Is that me?
Yes,
can you
hear
me?
You. How are we doing?
Oh, cool.
Yes. Yes.
I just wanted to call in. I wanted to say the reason why Beeble's so good is he uses the whipping left. It ain't been used in Tyson was the last one to use it, but he only had it like halfway. He would use it to kind of shift. But they didn't call it this back then, but it's kind of like a front foot jab. And that's why he can shift to his rear foot so fast and cross the line like that. Canelo actually picked it up, and that's why G versus Canelo was, it looked a little different. Both of them had it kind of halfway. But, man, it is, it's the difference, man. There is it's like a scant few in all of the 100 years of film that had it. There were a lot of guys that had it, because it used to be taught as, like, the traditional jab. But it is the difference maker, man. There is he's using it about as good as it ever was. You care to hear the best? I got a short list of guys that y'all ain't heard of.
Okay.
Charlie Burley. Ray Robinson visited 49 states, and when it was time to go to California, where the best of, there was this group of guys called the Black Murderers Row. They weren't allowed to challenge for the title from 15 to 30 or so. And the best of them lived in California. When it was time for Ray to go to California, he went to Europe for 20 years instead, or however long he went. And in California was Charlie Burley. And he was almost, I might be wrong, he was almost 50 years old. And his students followed him to Europe. Lloyd Marshall knocked out LaMotta. Just out. Whenever the champion would lose his belt or the number one contender would get beat, they would go down and try and fight one of these guys, the Black Murderers Row, and they would just be made to look silly. They would just look really dumb. They would just get knocked out. And so Lloyd Marshall, a bunch of these guys followed him to Europe trying to get this fight. And Charlie Burley, he was almost 50 years old. Ray Robinson was asked by a reporter in his prime. He was asked, "Will you ever fight Charlie Burley?" And Ray laughed and said, "You ain't my friend, now are you?" Charlie Burley, only one fight of him survived. Only one fight of him survived. It's on YouTube. It's him versus Oakland Billy Smith. Burley versus Oakland Billy Smith. It's beautiful.
Good deal. All right,
it took me months to finish.
Thank you so much.
It's like a book. I'm going to drop my list in the chat. Feel free to save it, guys.
Yes,
and,
sure.
Yeah,
absolutely, man.
The whipping left. Have a good stream, guys.
The whipping
Thanks.
Left.
Bye.
All right, man. All right. 805, you're live.
Hey, guys. Man, that whole interaction with Jerry, please don't ever do that again. My God, it felt like I lost like 30 minutes of my life listening to you guys arguing with this guy. Yeah, it was brutal. It was absolutely
brutal. You know what it's
brutal.
Like? It's like trying to explain, you know what it's like? It's like trying to explain physics to a wino. You know what I mean? It's just, it ain't going to work, man. You know, something he's going to get.
Oh, my God, that's fucking hilarious. I never heard that before.
Head.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
That guy had no – that guy had no – his idea of quote-unquote competitive was asinine. That made absolutely no sense. Like, how does someone getting beat up or losing almost all of the rounds, how does that make them competitive? Because – they didn't get stopped. They didn't get dropped. And they were still in the fight. Like, my God.
Leave the guy
alone.
He has his own opinion, man.
Hey, Beeb, and I have a right to criticize that opinion. And that's what I did right now. So, Anyway, just I'm going to touch on the fight.
He's very obtuse here. Come on.
Oh, stop, Beep.
Come on, Zordo Bivol fight. Bivol just beat him easily. Like to me, I never understood what the
competitive wasn't it, Nacho? Do you think that was competitive?
Yeah, according to Jerry, it was. Huh? Yeah, exactly. According to Jerry's definition, it was. But my God, I don't understood what the hell his corner was doing. Like the game plan they came with was completely wrong. The only way you were going to beat the guy is you literally had to go in there and walk through fire and eat some shots and rough him up. You're not going to outbox a guy like Bivol. I'm sorry. And that's what it felt like his corner was like trying to tell him to do. It was like he was standing in mid-range or outside, and he was trying to jab with him and throw, you know, shots from the outside. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're not going to beat this guy trying to outbox him. He's too good. You're literally falling for his trap.
Nacho, remember this line? Remember this line in the 12th round? That man across the ring stands between you and immortality.
Didn't tell him how to win. Didn't tell him what to do. Didn't tell him step to the left, use your jab. Didn't tell him anything, just trying to gas him up. He's got nothing, man.
What am I watching? What am I watching? The Infinity War? The Infinity War here? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, that was just awful. Awful. And he got whooped on, and now he's going to have to go on the – back to the drawing board and then see what they do as far as, like, for another fight. With Bivol, I mean, I hope we get the Beterbiev fight after Beterbiev fights Anthony Yard. And then, you know, we can finally see who the best at 175 is. With the man, I wanted to talk about real quick about the Rakhimov, Zelfa Barrett fight. I've never seen a guy take the lead, like sprint out to a lead and then be coasting through the majority of the fight. And then all of a sudden the wheels just fall off like they did for Barrett, and that Rakhimov was able to start touching him up and hitting him and beating him up. And then eventually just bludgeoned him at the very end and knocked him out. That was a hell of a comeback by Rakhimov, because if Barrett had been able to, you know, make it to the end of the fight, he wins that fight easy. He was so far ahead, in my opinion, that there was no way he was going to lose as long as he made it to the 12th round. But Rakhimov just beat the hell out of him as the fight went on, and then just stopped him and bludgeoned him. That was a hell of a fight. At this point, I don't even think Cordina, who's the mandatory next guy to face him, I don't think Cordina beats him. I think Rakhimov beats him too. So I think he's going to end up probably holding on to that belt for sure. With the Showtime card, guys, that fight in the main event with Morel and I can't even pronounce the other guy's name. It's so damn long.
Your boss Anuli. Isn't that your boss Anuli or something
Anuli.
Like that?
Yeah, your boss Anuli. I don't understand what the hell his corner was doing. That fight was over pretty much from the 7th round on. They just let that poor guy get beat the hell up. He was holding on for dear life. Tony Weeks took a point away. Like, my God, like, it makes absolutely no sense that his corner let that guy keep going out round after round, just getting teed off on by Morel. He was not making any kind of progress. He was just getting beat up. And they might have just shortened his career with that beating he just took last night. That guy might never be the same after that whooping that put on him. Like, that was brutal to watch, to see him just get bludgeoned the way he did and them just stand there and just keep sending that poor guy out there. Your boss Anuli might never be the same again. Yeah, he got beat up real bad.
He took a beating.
And then, the Rosario-Mendoza fight. I thought Rosario, this was set up for Rosario to win and look good. But all the credit to Mendoza, he's just a guy. But he went in there and he took out Rosario, and he did it in spectacular fashion. It's a good thing that Rosario's made the decision to walk away, because, man, I would hate to see him keep getting laid out the way he got laid out last night. That was a tough way to lose that fight. I mean, that was a nasty uppercut he ate, and he tried to get up, but he was just completely discombobulated after he ate that shot trying to get up. And it's a good thing that either someone talked him into it or maybe he just came to the realization he's not the same guy anymore and he's walking away. That's a good thing for him. But do you guys think that this fight for Mendoza, do you think it makes him a player or is this just a name on his record moving forward?
Well, I think it's definitely, I mean, what he definitely gets him a bigger fight coming up. You know what I mean? Anytime you beat a former champ like that, especially as a late replacement, he's going to get a bigger fight. Now, what he does in that bigger fight, who knows? But he's definitely earned a shot to get another fight, to get a bigger money fight than he had and just, you know, time to train for it. So it'll be interesting, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. All right, guys, that was my call.
All right, Nacho. Thank you so much, sir. All right, let's get to the, let's see here. What do we got? Let's get to the schedule for next week. Not a whole lot going on here. November 12th in Sheffield, England, Sonny Edwards versus Felix Alvarado for Edwards' IBF flyweight title. There's no TV on this listed. So, guys, just keep checking the schedules. I'm sure it'll be on. I mean, you'll catch it on YouTube, but I'm sure it'll be on a channel. It's either going to be on ESPN or DAZN, I would imagine. Also on November 12th on ESPN+, Janabek Alemkanouli versus Denzel Bentley, 12 rounds for Alemkanouli's WBO middleweight title. And if you haven't seen Janabek fight, he's really, really good. He is must-see TV. Cienza Estrada versus Jasmine on the undercard here. Cienza Estrada versus Jasmine Gala Villarino, 10 rounds for Estrada's WBA women's strawweight title. They will fight 20 minutes and then claim someone as a champion. November 12th on DAZN. Now, this is the fight of the weekend, no question. Montana Love on DAZN versus Stevie Spark, 12 rounds, junior welterweight. Hey, Beeb, did I mention where Montana Love is from?
Ohio.
Titletown, baby, that's right. We got the Buckeyes, the Browns, the Bengals. I mean, we got Montana Love, AB, Black Prime. What else do we need to make you guys believers, man? What else do we need? On DAZN also, on November 12th, Natasha Jones versus Marie-Eve Dicare, 10 rounds for Jonas's WB. Who cares? The undercard is not really worth mentioning. There's not really much on there. And that's it for next week. That's it for next week. So there you go. All right. Any big news this week, Beeb? Plant, Caleb Plant, and David Benavides have apparently signed. They've agreed to this, and they've signed contracts or whatever. Now, when it's going to take place, nobody knows. Where it's going to take place, nobody knows. But the two have agreed to fight each other, which is good enough for me. So there you go. Teddy Elliott, Buddy Young, he says, Eric, what's your opinion about Justin McCaskill? I really don't have one. I got to be honest. I don't have one. I'm not a big women's boxing guy. You know, it is. Some people like women's soccer. Some people like women's tennis. Some people don't like those sports. I happen to just not really care for women's boxing, you know. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be straight up. Even if they went to 3 minutes in 12 rounds, I probably still wouldn't be interested in it. I got to be honest. Just my Beeb, you like women's boxing?
Yeah.
You liar. You're such a liar, son. You sit there and trash it every time before we come on the air. You sit there and you trash it. You know,
never.
And then all of a sudden, you know.
Never. That's blasphemous.
How dare you? Did she win this weekend? She fought this weekend, right?
Oh, she lost. She didn't look good at all.
She got knocked out?
No, she
Nobody gets knocked out in women's boxing, do they? Because it's only 2 minutes. I mean, they could survive 2 minutes, right?
She lost by a wide margin.
Yeah.
She didn't look good.
Well, was the fight competitive, though?
No.
Would Jerry think the fight was competitive?
No comment.
I'm just asking. I'm asking questions. I'm asking questions, man. What are you going to do? All right. The Errol Spence, as everybody knows, too, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford fell apart. So you're not going to be getting that fight anytime soon. Beeb, you know that well, the Albanesian fight is on pay-per-view. Did you know Regis Prograis, he's going to fight Zepeda? That's going to be on pay-per-view? That's on pay-per-view.
You sure that's on pay-per-view?
I'm positive it's on pay-per-view. Yes. top-ranked pay-per-view? Let me see here. Yeah, well, I don't know who it's for, but it just says Carson, November 26th, pay-per-view, Regis Prograis, Jose Zepeda.
Really?
That's on pay-per-view, son. How about that?
I thought that was on ESPN.
Yeah. Nobody wants to pick it up.
Wow.
Nobody wants to pick it up.
That's what's the date on that? November 26th?
26th, yeah, the 26th. Yeah. How about that? Crazy, right?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing that's on that. Wow.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly. That's what I said, too. I couldn't believe it. Because, you know, I'm looking at it in, like, you know, the Errol Spence fight, that would have been on pay-per-view. But I know that the Crawford fight's going to be on pay-per-view. Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence's next fight's going to be on pay-per-view, whoever he fights.
Oh, is that on Fight TV pay-per-view?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Let me see. Event schedule.
I told you, I just read it, man.
Wow, that's crazy.
Crazy, right?
Let me see if I can see it on their schedule. Yeah, that's on Fight TV. Guess how much it costs?
$59.99. Stop it.
Oh my God.
Do they have an app that goes on TV too? I don't know if they do or not. I would imagine they do.
I think you would have to. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm sure you could download it on like a smart TV. I mean, I think just, you know.
I'm not sure if you could do that, or if you have to Chromecast it or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I got to buy that?
I'm not buying that. I'm not buying the Black Prime one. I'm buying any of them. They're not pay-per-view worthy fights, man.
They're actually going to put that on pay-per-view.
At least, you know, the other one's got a good undercard, a fairly decent undercard, but nothing you'd pay for. You
I'm
know?
Amazed at they're putting that on pay-per-view.
Yeah. Dale in Chi-Town says that Fight TV does have an app for the TV. So, yeah, that's good. There you go.
I don't know.
Yeah, right? All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week.